Beloved in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our God who is love, and from Jesus, the very heart of God revealed. Jesus said to his disciples, as he says to us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart is deeply invested. I don't know about you, but one of the places I find that I have deep heart investment is in the stories I tell myself. Lord knows we tell ourselves a lot of stories as individuals, as communities, as nations. There's always a story behind the story. Who's telling it and why? Those both matter. Some of the stories we tell ourselves are more helpful than others. Some stories inspire and encourage us. Others can be downright damning. All the stories we tell ourselves represent only one portion of the full reality in which we live and move and have our being. I first heard the question, "What is the story you're telling yourself?" from sociologist Brené Brown. She encourages all of us to ask that question and to ask it often, especially when we find ourselves responding to a situation or a person with considerable emotion, convinced that our feelings about this particular situation or person are quite justified, because in our heads, the whole thing has been mapped out by a very compelling story that gives my experience its shape and meaning. While it's true that the stories we tell ourselves are rooted in our experience, those experiences themselves are filtered through our emotions, through our existing assumptions, our frames of reference, not to mention our agendas, or by that insistent voice in our head that demands the right to do the storytelling. Turns out that our stories are not, in fact, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They are the stories we tell ourselves. You may be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Don't I have a right to my truth? Sure you do. So do I. But that's just the point. It's your truth or my truth, not the whole story. When your story bumps up against my story and we can't find a way to make it our shared story, trouble is not far behind. The dividing wall that we heard about in Ephesians, this dividing wall of hostility, it is built brick by brick from the conflicting stories you and I tell ourselves about the very same reality. It's been that way from the beginning. The scriptures bear witness to our human attachment, our heart investment in the stories we tell ourselves. Consider Cain and Abel, one of the earliest examples of hostility created when two brothers tell very different stories about the same reality. We know what resulted from the clash of those stories, don't we? Death. Murder, actually. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be found. Oh, how we are invested in the treasured stories we tell ourselves. Ironically, most of the time, we are completely unaware of our level of investment in the stories we tell, collectively or individually. And therein lies the danger. When left unexamined, the stories we tell take on a power of their own. They have the power to edify, to be sure. They also have the power to injure, to maim, and to kill. We ourselves can be the victims of our own stories if what they tell us over and over again is how unworthy, how unlovable, how unredeemable we are. When our stories convince us that there is no hope, no way out of our mess, it can rob us of our humanity or our life, literally or figuratively. In the same way, our unexamined stories can be turned on others, offering a compelling narrative of why they are the problem. They are the ones who are unworthy, unlovable, unredeemable. They are the enemy. Such stories, when constructed over time, they build a dividing wall of hostility that, brick by brick, prevents me from seeing the very humanity of you. And here's the tricky thing. It isn't always the blatantly toxic stories that can do the most damage. No, the stories that can do the most damage over time are the ones we think are harmless, self-evident even. Consider this. All people are created equal. Isn't that the wonderful self-evident story we tell ourselves in this nation? If everyone is created equal, so the story goes, then everyone has the same chance, the same opportunities, the same advantages. If there's inequality or injustice experienced by others, it's certainly not my fault. I haven't done anything wrong, which means it must be your fault. You didn't work hard enough. You didn't try hard enough. The injustices you experience can't possibly have anything to do with me, can't possibly be related to the inherent advantage that I've experienced by virtue of my age, my gender, my economic status, the color of my skin. That's not possible, not when all people are created equal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be found. Oh, how we are invested in the treasured stories we tell ourselves. So if the stories we tell ourselves are heartfelt stories to which we are so attached, if these stories are part of the problem, leading to the construction of hostilities between us, where does that leave us? How do we learn to challenge, question, deconstruct, reinterpret our stories, especially when the investment I have in my story bumps up against the truth and power of your story? How do we begin to discover a larger shared story? Well, it helps to recognize the profound difference between the stories we tell and the God in whose story we dwell. When our attention is turned from ourselves and our manufactured stories to the God in whose story we dwell, something shifts. We begin to recognize the limitations of our vantage point. We begin to trust that there is a bigger picture to which all of us belong. And that is our hope, friends. That is part of our lifelong journey of faith, to keep moving from the stories we tell to the God in whose story we dwell together. So what does our faith reveal to us about this God in whose story we dwell? Our faith reveals that this God has created each of us in love, each of us in the divine image, each of us. At the same time, our faith reveals how this God grieves every time we lose sight of each other's divine image, every time I privilege my way of being human over against your way of being human. Our faith reveals, too, how this God, in whose story we dwell, took on flesh and lived among us, giving birth to a very different story about what it means to be human, how to live in community. This new story wasn't just told. It was lived out in Jesus, embodied in acts of healing and compassion, made known through an upside-down, last-shall-be-first reshaping of all of our expectations. Our faith also reveals that when that new story clashed with our familiar, treasured storyline about the way things are supposed to be, we made sure that this new story of Jesus, that didn't get too far. We killed that story then and there, or so we thought. Turns out that this God in whose story we dwell is not limited by our self-serving, death-dealing narratives. No, our faith reveals how this God keeps writing this new cross-shaped story, filled now by the Spirit's power to break down all dividing walls once and for all. What our faith reveals is that the God in whose story we dwell is writing this story in this very moment through you and me for the sake of a world in which no one story will ever harm another beloved child of God, for the sake of creating a lasting treasure in which our hearts can find a home together. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is my hope and prayer that as a community of faith, you will take time to reflect on the stories you tell, the stories in which some of you have deep heart investment. It is my prayer that you will take time to challenge and question and deconstruct and reinterpret those stories in light of the God in whose story we all dwell together. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, in doing that, another brick in the dividing wall will come tumbling now. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, Together, we will discover more clearly the contours of the shared story in which we all take part. This much is certain. The God in whose story we dwell is committed to a storyline unlike anything you or I would construct on our own. A story of grace unbounded, a story of truly beloved community, a story in which life is born of death, a story of freedom for every longing heart. And that is very good news for you, for me, for the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.